Today's gospel gives us one of the most important teachings in all of Scripture. Jesus' commandment to love one another as I have loved you. Sadly, we often fail to love one another as Jesus has loved us. Sometimes it's because we choose not to. We choose to be selfish rather than to love. But sometimes it's because we don't know or perhaps forget what it means to love, or more importantly, what it means to love as Christ has loved us. How did Jesus love us? The gospel that we read today is taken from St. John's gospel, from his account of the Last Supper. A few verses later in the account of the Last Supper, Jesus tells us, "No greater love is a man than this, than he laid down his life for his friends." And we know that just a few hours later, Jesus did just that. He died on the cross. So to love one another like Christ loves us means we have to be willing to suffer and even die for each other. Not always physical suffering and death, but the simple sacrifices and sufferings that we endure for each other. Every day, in large ways and small. But that's not the only explanation that Jesus gives of love at the Last Supper. He also says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So to love Jesus, we must keep all that he has commanded, which includes the Ten Commandments he gave to Moses and that he explained in the Gospels, as well as all the other moral teachings that he handed on to his disciples. The point is that loving, according to Jesus, has a certain context, a meaning. We can say that the love of Christ has a certain reasoning or logic to it. Now, that seems extremely strange to some people today, and even on some level to many of us, who tend to think of love as being more of a feeling or a passion. But that understanding of love is really very weak. I mean, if you say that you love me and then you yell and you scream at me and you try to kill me, we can all see that that's not love. Or at least the actions are not loving. And that means that they're not consistent with the logic of love. The logic or the reason that it says, if you love someone, then you will act in a certain way towards them. Love, then, in a very real way, is logical. Not an unfeeling logic like a Mr. Spock kind of thing, but love has a pattern, a meaning, a reasoning. And that's the way it is with Jesus when he says today, love one another, how? As I have loved you. And then we ask, well, how is that? What does that look like? Or what is the logical behavior of one who loves like Jesus? Love is the core of Jesus' life and teaching. But so is logic. Again, we're reading from St. John's Gospel today. So let's go back to the very first words that at the very beginning of that Gospel, where St. John begins, he says, in the beginning was the Word. Then just a few phrases later, he says, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Of course, St. John is talking about Jesus, God who became flesh, a human being. And that term Word that he uses to describe Jesus, the Word, is key to understanding so much of what John is trying to explain in his Gospel. So let's look at that word. The word word, or the term word, is actually a translation of the original Greek word logos. And logos is usually translated as word, so that St. John is trying to explain that Jesus is the communication of God to man. He is God speaking to man in the flesh, or Jesus is his word. But logos also means something else. In the Greek, logos means reason. It's where we get the word logic from. Logos, L-O-G, logic. So St. John says not only is Jesus the Word revealing God to man, but he reveals the logic or the reasoning of God to man. If you will, he reveals the way things really are in the mind of our Creator. And we see this whenever Jesus teaches. He's very logical. Look at all his parables. All of them use logic to explain the way things are. So he says, for example, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. And then he uses the logic of that to compare and to help us to come to understand what the kingdom of God is like. Or he says, I was sick and you didn't visit me. How could that be? He says, because whatsoever you do to the least of my brethren, you did to me. It's logic. Or he says, the Father and I are one, therefore he who has seen me has seen the Father. If then. Logic. Logic or reason cannot be separated from God, Jesus, or from his gospel, or from his creation. The whole world is governed by logic. I mean, science, it studies creation, is supposed to be all about logic. Beginning with the most basic science, math, 1 + 1 = 2. The foundation of logic, reasoning. Unfortunately, we don't always act logically or reasonably. We should, but we don't. Sometimes we act illogically or unreasonably because we choose to. We know something's bad for us, but we do it anyway. That's illogical. But sometimes we act illogically because our reason has been impaired. Perhaps maybe by drugs or by alcohol or confusion of some sort, or maybe we've been taught something wrong, or maybe we have a mental illness or a mental disorder. But any way you look at it, that isn't the way we're supposed to be. Something's wrong and that needs to be fixed. The problem is nowadays people are willingly rejecting logic and reason, even the most basic logic called common sense. And it's not just an individual rejection. We're seeing a whole societal rejection of logic. We see it in a lot of ways. For example, we see it in the unbridled anger that too often fuels the debates that we're having today on things like race relations or illegal immigration or the economy or the redistribution of wealth. Personally, I think we see it especially in the presidential races, the unprecedented, really, unbridled anger on all sides. Now, anger can be reasonable, don't get me wrong. But many times our anger is not reasonable. And that's what I mean by unbridled anger. But just how far society has rejected logic came home to me in a powerful way this last week. I read that the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals had ruled that if a girl thinks she's a boy, we all have to treat her like she's a boy and even let her use the boys' restroom and showers. It doesn't matter what the science of biology or even the science of psychology says or what simple common sense says. If a boy thinks he's a girl or a girl thinks she's a boy, we're supposed to suspend logic and believe them. Think about this. This is the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, the second highest level of court in the land, based here in Virginia. Supposedly some of the best judges, the most reasonable lawyers in our country. And then compound that with a few days later, the so-called conservative political party's leading candidate for the presidency came out and agreed with those judges. Have we lost our minds? A boy is a boy, and a girl is a girl. It's very simple. What if a 10-year-old boy thinks he's a 25-year-old man? Do we have to then accept that and let him buy liquor and vote? What if a 30-year-old woman thinks she's God? Do we have to worship her? Where does it stop? Logically, where does it stop? It doesn't stop because it's illogical. It reminds me of the Hans Christian Andersen short story, The Emperor's New Clothes, where two charlatans convince an emperor that they've sewn him a magnificent suit, beautiful. And anyone who's wise can see how beautiful it is. But there's really nothing there. And so he processes naked around town. And all the people, in fear of being labeled stupid, express their admiration for his beautiful new clothes. Until one little boy in the crowd shouts the obvious. The emperor has nothing on at all. Now, some people will say that what I've been saying is hate speech. No, this is love speech. If someone thinks that there's something or someone that logic and reason and common sense says they're not, they have a terrible problem. And we don't help them by denying that problem, much less reinforcing that problem. Jesus shows us how to love these people. By the way, he heals the sick. Not just when they come to him, the lepers come, he doesn't just pat them on the head and say, oh, you should love your leprosy. Rejoice in it. Celebrate. Let's celebrate your leprosy. And when he says, I was hungry and you gave me to eat. Not when I was hungry, you let me starve because it was good that I was starving. When I was sick, you visited me. And when he died on the cross for our sins, Jesus comes to heal. There is a logic to life and to love. And that logic tells us that we must help those who suffer from gender confusion. We should be patient with them, and we should try to protect them from unnecessary harm. But we shouldn't pretend that they don't have a problem, a disorder. My point, though, is not so much the gender issue, but the loss of logic and reason in our society and public discourse, and the loss of logic, the logic of genuine love. If you love, you will do this and you will not do that. Simple logic. And then all the questions that this raises for Catholics. Think, how much has this illogical approach infected your lives? How much has it affected your children's lives? How are they teaching your children how to think illogically in school, especially in public or government schools? How do you love your children and so protect them from all this bad thinking? How do we talk to people who suspend or contradict logic? How can you have an intelligent conversation? How do we live and work with these people? How do you love them? How do you respond to your employer when he tells you that either act illogically or you're fired or you won't get promoted? What do we do when schools and judges and even the president tells us, in effect, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? How do you vote for president when 4 out of the 5 major candidates don't have the common sense to answer the question, is a girl really a girl? What will this do to laws? Laws that are not rooted in reason are fundamentally, by definition, unjust. And then you don't have to obey them. How can you have a society like this? Without logical discourse, without just laws, without common sense. A boy is not a girl just because he thinks he is. And an irrational person is not a loving person just because they think they are. And a person who rejects Christ's logic of love is not a Christian just because they think they are. Sadly, using logic will get you into trouble. Nowadays, gets me into trouble with a lot of angry parishioners sometimes, and sometimes even with the newspapers or the internet bloggers. and it will get you into trouble at work, at home, and at school. It will be a real threat. It is a real threat, and it's going to become a bigger threat. But Jesus commands us, love one another as I have loved you. And Jesus loves us most magnificently by dying on the cross for us. The logic of love sometimes means that we have to be willing to suffer, even die, for the one you love. And it means dying to lies and to ignorance and anything else that leads us away from the logic of Christ's love for us. And so St. Paul tells us in today's second reading, it is necessary, he says, for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. As I mentioned earlier, today's gospel is taken from St. John's account of the Last Supper, where, of course, Jesus gave us the Eucharist. As now we enter more deeply into this holy Mass, we prepare to receive his true body crucified for us. And we remember that he said at the Last Supper, no greater love has a man than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. And as we do now, the other thing he commanded at the Last Supper, as he said, do this in memory of me. Let us ask Jesus to give us the grace through this most holy sacrament to always live according to the true logic of his love, no matter what the cost, no matter how much we have to suffer, and so keep his commandment, love one another as I have loved you. Praise be Jesus Christ.